If I told you about some leafy greens that are among the most nutritious plants around, and some say tasty, and they're free, would you eat them? Great, here's a dandelion and some chickweed. Some people are funny about harvesting food from the wild, and of course we have to be very careful not to eat something poisonous. Hemlock, I'm looking at you. But even if it is safe, would you eat a weed salad? Erica Vols goes in search of a healthy, green, free food that just happens to be weeds.
Want the knife?
Thank you.
We're at my place. It's almost dinner time. We're having pizza, homemade pizza, and I'm making a salad to go with it.
All right, I'm just going to make a salad, which is a bit of a combination. It's going to have some purslane and chickweed, wild rocket, and some dandelion.
Right about now, you might be thinking, what is she putting in that salad? Well, these ingredients are plants that we don't usually tend to consider to be food because they're weeds. And to gather these particular weeds, earlier in the day, I took a trip to a backyard of an old farmhouse in Brunswick, in Melbourne's inner north, where I met a man who knows lots about weeds.
Adam? Hi, how are you going? So you cycled here?
Cycled here.
Yep, nice and close.
I'm pretty local.
Yep.
Yeah, and this is...
This is your friend's place?
Yeah, I think it's like 1880.
So I'm Adam Grubb.
Yeah.
I co-authored a book called The Weed Forager's Handbook. And it's a guide to eating weeds that's of Australia. Although it's pretty relevant all around the world since the weeds that we have here have followed colonists from where they came from in general.
What got you interested in weeds?
Fear.
Fear?
I mean, it's kind of ridiculous in some ways, but I've been worried for ages, like what happens if there is like a truck strike or an oil crisis or whatever. And I was like working in IT and I realized I actually had no practical skills to speak of.
So you were worried that if the food chain broke down, you wouldn't know how to get a meal. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't the only driver, but no pun intended. But it was certainly, yeah, I just kind of felt hopeless and helpless. And I also felt a little bit ignorant that when I walk through the landscape, urban or otherwise, I actually didn't know the name of that many plants or that many stories about them. I was weeding the garden one day and I didn't know what it was, and I looked it up in a weed ID book, and then I was able to research it once I had its botanical name. It was actually chickweed. And I found out once I knew its botanical name that, whoa, it's actually like has all these medicinal uses and food uses. And I was just pulling out of the ground, not even knowing what it was, so I could plant something else. And I also find weeding kind of boring, so I stopped the weeding at that point. I was only halfway through it. Yeah, now chickweed's a pretty regular part of my diet.
Adam also runs edible weed walking tours in Melbourne. And the farmhouse we're visiting today in Brunswick is owned by one of Adam's friends. It has a veggie patch, lots of fruit trees, chooks, gorgeous chooks, and of course bare earth, which is perfect for weeds to sprout out of. Which is handy because we're here to forage for weeds and eat them. And there is a chook walking past.
You stay there. That's it. Off you go. Over that way.
Yeah, oh, so here we go, our first weed.
Wow, so what do we got?
We're looking at a field of amaranth. Now, amaranth is a plant which, there are species of amaranth all around the world. I think it originated probably in Africa, but it was a super important plant for the Aztecs and the Incas. Mm-hmm. And they used it as a seed crop, and we're looking down on some plants that are just starting to seed up, and these are some red flowering amaranths. And I just like eating them as a green.
Do you think we can pick some now?
We could, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, this one, what we want is the fresh young growth tips. Bring the microphone this way.
Okay.
What we want to hear is a nice clean pop when it comes off. If you had to twist it off, they would probably be too fibrous, because these aren't plants that are bred for the human palate.
So a nice pop. Okay, and you'd make a salad out of that, just like...
This particular one has oxalic acid in it, which a lot of plants do, like silver beet and spinach, and you actually want to cook it so you don't... you leach a little bit of that out.
Well, if you were going to advise me in my garden at the moment, I amazingly enough have a couple of tomatoes that have actually gone red because it's been, I hear it's a bad season in Melbourne. And I've got one cucumber that's kind of doing its best. Uh-huh. So can we gather some stuff here that I could add to that to make a salad?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's pick your salad.
Okay, all right.
Here's another global traveller. And this is Portulaca oleraceae, also known as purslane.
Yes.
And it's a semi-succulent ground cover. And it's got a crunchy texture and slightly mucilaginous, I guess. But it's kind of, I really like it as a texture.
You going to have some?
I'll have some.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll do it together.
All right. When you said mutilaginous, I was kind of expecting something way gooey up. This is quite nice.
It's pretty good, huh? Do you get a little hint of the lemony tang?
Mm. Yeah. Mm. And say so you'd chop this up and put it in a salad?
Yeah, absolutely. You can cook or use this one raw.
Okay, so we've got a bowl here. How does one harvest it? Do you just snip it with your fingers?
If you are going to cook it, you can harvest a lot more of it.
Yeah.
But we want really the freshest, youngest growing tips.
So this one?
About that.
I am kind of a bit stunned by this, I've got to say.
Yeah, you can do it.
Well, yeah. I mean...
Yeah, I mean, I get that too, because I didn't know about this growing up, and I grew up on a farm.
Yep.
It just seems really strange that there's food growing everywhere and we don't know how to use it.
Yeah.
Or even what it's called most of the time. But we've got one here. This is Stellaria media chickweed. It's actually a winter crop, but it's growing here in the shade. Yeah, it's very unusual.
And, you know, with lettuce, I kind of give it a bit of a rinse, a bit of a spin in the salad spinner.
Yeah, precisely.
Yep. Okay.
We've got a little dandelion here. It's a bit bitter, so we won't overdo that.
Yeah.
We'll put a little bit in.
Okay.
Chop it up finely so it's not, you know, large bits. With dandelion, it'll live for a couple of years. Everything else we've seen is just it will just grow for one season, so 6 months or so. Mm. You want to get it when it's a bit younger, the dandelion, and fresher and younger and greener if you're eating it in a salad.
Okay. This looks kind of very green and leafy. What's this?
This one? Oh, that's a silver beet. Okay. I was looking at the weed underneath.
You only have eyes for the weeds.
You must know this one by now.
That's the same with the purslane? Is that the purslane? Yeah. What do you call it?
You're coming along quite well. This is an oxalis plant. It looks very similar to a clover, which will just add a little bit of a lemony zing to it.
Oh, excellent.
But it has little yellow flowers. This one... It's a running ground sorrel.
Yep.
Yeah, but they're all edible.
Okay.
Not to be confused with the English or French sorrels, which are unrelated, but...
And I'm just trusting you here.
Oh, yeah, this is 100% safe. The only thing you could confuse this with would be clover, but clover's... The worst clover will do is give you a bit of gas. We'll avoid that.
Okay, what do we have here?
Is a wild rocket.
Yeah, and it's got the little yellow leaves.
Different species, but tastes very similar to the rocket that you buy in the shops.
Mm-hmm.
How are the kids with some spice?
I think my eldest will be better. Okay, all right, that's probably enough to be going on with.
Okay. You do want to be careful both on an ID front. You've got to really know what you're doing because there's poisonous plants out there. And you also want to know a little bit about where you're picking from. So the soil could be toxic or it could have been sprayed. So, yeah, I do pick things out in the world, but that's, I take that risk on. But I also pick them from my own backyard. I never or very rarely go out going, I'm going to go pick weeds. It's just I'm on my way somewhere and I spot a nice patch. And it's like, well, that'll do for dinner. It's pretty easy. You don't really think about it, but you do feel like there is definitely a thing when you're going for a walk down the creek or something where there's way more than you can eat, but you still feel strangely more connected to the landscape. So many of the plants that we call weeds, they're by definition the bad guys, actually turn out to be not only edible but more nutritious than their cultivated cousins. And there's a weird kind of evolutionary reason for that they are plants that are adapted to disturbance, and we're so good at creating disturbance, and plants in that little ecological niche turn out to be more edible than any other niche. But yeah, it's kind of weird that we're surrounded by this stuff.
But obviously, as we were kind of selecting the weeds, as we were collecting the weeds, you're like, don't eat that one. What is the most dangerous, deadly weed that you'll come across in your wanderings?
Yeah, I don't have to think about that. It's definitely hemlock.
As in like Shakespeare hemlock?
Yeah. Yeah, as in killed Socrates hemlock. Yeah, so that the conium species are extremely deadly, and they look very similar to a carrot top if you've ever seen a carrot growing. And there are such things as wild carrots growing out there, or Queen Anne's lace, but we didn't put that in the book because it's too similar to hemlock. It's just not worth eating anything that looks like that. But yeah, you really got to get, it's the most deadly, but there are other ones that will make you feel unwell. And you really got to make sure you have positive identification of what you're eating.
Do people actually do take the step of incorporating weeds into their life? I mean, can they just do it on their own safely?
Yeah, if you've got a good book to go from, the internet, you know, it's a mixed bag, but you can at least, we've got a collection of online photographs as well, so you can see these plants at all different stages of life and help get your eye in.
At the moment, people are still fairly reliant on the food chain as it's currently constructed, like at the moment, the way people's lives are kind of constructed, where they're mostly working outside of the home, or a lot of people are working outside of the home, it's very hard to kind of get all of your nutrients from your own backyard. Is this a mixed solution?
Not just hard, it's probably impossible. But certain things that the fresh greens and the vegetables and the kind of things that you can grow pretty effectively at home and taste so much better, they also happen to be the things that have higher environmental costs usually, partly because they're perishable, so they have to be moved quickly and in refrigeration. So I totally agree, we're not going to get our whole diet from backyards or in the city, but there are a few key areas where we can reduce our environmental impact and have better food.
And part of that can be wandering into your backyard or going down to your local creek and picking up some weeds.
You need very little skill from a horticultural perspective. You do need some and a little bit of ID, but there's plenty of resources to help you out with that.
All right, well, I've got my bowl of greens, which I'm going to take home and wash and mix in with some plants that are more known with my family, and I'll see how I go. Adam, thank you very much for speaking with me.
My pleasure.
Okay, time to turn off the salad again. So have you tried the salad yet?
No.
Can you have some?
The rocket's actually really good. It's very rockety.
Very rockety? Have you had one of these ones?
Yeah, I found that kind of just plain.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's the rocket?
Yes.
It's wild rocket. And this?
Sort of like a stronger rocket almost, but without the sort of tang to it.
Do you
want
to know what it is? It's dandelion.
The one with the yellow flower weeds.
Yeah.
It's got quite an aftertaste.
Yeah. They said it was pretty strong.
My mission got bad.
Oh, yeah.
That's the pizza.
That's the operator. Pizza. Have you tried this? Try that.
Can I try this one?
No thanks.
You're not going to try that one.
So you're eating a salad of weeds.
It's got a bit of dandelion there.
Mm.
What do you think?
It's good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's quite strong though, right?
Mm. Nope, my taste buds are just like...
Yeah, really?
And like a bit it? With happiness.
But do you like it?
Yeah.
Would you eat it again?
I'd eat dandelion again. Maybe not the whole salad. Maybe.
What about this one? That's a bit of purslane. Try that.
Oh.
You don't like that one?
No, it's just very strong and it's like, again.
That's Erica Voles making her family's taste buds go with a weed salad. And you also heard from Melbourne author and weed expert Adam Grubb.